Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils, and you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
You river dance awesome.
Oh, thank
I had
you.
No idea how good you were practicing. At your Michael Flatley.
Get to wear my green Devil's hat exactly once a year.
And here it is today. I see that now. Yeah,
doesn't match with anything else. So didn't help with today's game either.
Well, you know, there's a lot to not be happy about if you're living in the world of New Jersey Devil fandom. It's just, yeah, it's gone from bad to worse. And the team right now is a complete and total mess. I mean, I tell you, though, I'm legitimately done with this jumping on the bandwagon thing. You know, yeah. They have a game like they did against Dallas, and you're just like, all right, now. I mean, because, listen, everybody else is leaving the window open. So
couldn't be more left open.
No,
I started off today hearing that now the Islanders had lost four in a row.
Mm-hmm.
How many more teams do you need to lose 4, 5, 6 in a row? You can't even string together 500.
Well, what did I think Bill Spaulding said in the game last night that in the Devils in their last 10, I think it was like 4-6 or something in their last 10, and they only lost 2 points in the standings.
Right.
Like, you know, so that's, you know, the thing is, yes, there is a. Sorry, just have to take my hat off. There is a path, but it's just not for the Devils. I don't know what it is about. Well, I do know. I mean, it's the makeup of this team. It's who they are. It's you know, when you come out last year with this high flying run and gun style, and you're playing north and south, and teams are saying, "Holy shit, you know, we can't keep up with this team," and you have skill all over the place, and then you have a year of teams knowing what you do and figuring out ways to. And when you only generate offense off the rush, that's a problem. When sure. You can't get in, you know, you can't get any kind of offensive zone time. We are terrible at forechecking. As soon as we dump it in, the puck is right back out. Yeah. So teams know you stand up at the blue line and you stop them from their zone entries, and you beat the Devils. And you know, so many guys have just been, I guess, underperforming, or maybe, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's weird when you see, like in sports, when a team has as much bad luck, or not bad luck, but, you know, just many negative things going throughout the course of a season, right? The Devils start off this year, they have high expectations, they come out, they play the first, you know, month or so, was okay, you know, they were hanging. And then
they're scoring, that's for sure.
Yeah. Then the injuries started piling up. At least the power play was really good.
Killing it, yep.
Right. So then the injuries start piling up, but you knew there were deficiencies.
And we said they're not going to sustain this level of output. So everything else has to eventually come around. And you thought you had the time to do that with the way they were scoring. Let's figure out the rest of the game as the season goes on, because they're not going to score at that clip. And then everything would start to fall in line.
Yeah. Ooh. Then the injuries pile up. The Michael McLeod situation, that weighs on this team. Having, you know, when you're playing in front of bad goaltenders for the entire season, that weighs on your team. Because sure. Now, I mean, look at tonight. Like, we actually just had a glorious goaltending display by Jake Allen tonight against Vegas. And you gave him one goal in support. Like, when it just, you know what it feels like? This team is just like a beaten dog. Like, it's just been all year negative, negative, negative. That I don't know if they know how to turn that to just say, it's us against the world, screw it. But in essence, to do that, to make that run, to kind of just put everything behind you and just put your head down and play hockey and do, let's say, what the Panthers did last year, you have to be a good team. And I think right now, I don't know how good we really are. I think our bottom six is a bit of a mess. Hey, Tony, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Tone, hop off and come back on. I got an echo.
Let me see something. Tell me if you still have it.
So, Yeah, I hear it.
Was it not switching over the fucking Echo?
So, like, to me, the bottom six is a big problem with this team. Like, there's no complimentary scoring. And it's not so much that I dislike a lot of these guys. Oh, God. Yeah, you got to do something with that tone.
We're live, Tone. There you go.
Yeah. You know, it's not that I don't like these guys. I do. I just, there are a few guys that I think, you know, we should talk about whether or not we think they should really be on this team. But it's obvious what this team's missing.
Yeah. Listen, I knew this was going to be a tough one for us to discuss. How do we continue to do this with this team where we saw what they can do to Dallas, what they gave up in Arizona, and then for the most part, a kind of hang with them playoff type of feel game. Although we weren't the better team, we were hanging, we were staying there, things were looking good. And now we have to, again, come and talk about this. But, you know, for starters, the helmets. We can't lose a team with those helmets. That's just god awful. I don't understand that. it's just brutal to look at those. To your point about the goaltending, I just want to bring that up before we talk about maybe problems on the team. That felt so good watching Jake Allen. There was a sequence right after our goal was taken back for the double review. Right. Wasn't kicked in, but it was goaltender interference. Another kind of slap in the face of the Devils. How are they going to recover? We were texting about that. I'm like, they could fall flat on their face now because another bad thing happened. And then there was Jake Allen. And there's a sequence right after that. There's two, maybe three bang, bang shots on him that he stopped. Clears that out. They come back. They get another two. And then while we're on the power play, he comes and he stops that shorthanded goal.
Yeah.
And then you fast forward, I think it was somewhere in the third period when the game was still in reach. One of the broadcasters mentioned Vegas is being the better team, but they haven't solved Allen enough. And I was like, when was the last time we heard that? And that's all we were ever talking about. Would Hellebuck have been great and having an absolute top three in the league? Sure. But would any goaltender who can put up one or two of these nights had made a difference all year? Hell yeah. It was there tonight. This game could have been way out of hand.
Oh,
Allen played out of his mind. Should
have. Any one of our other three goaltenders in tonight, I'll say four goaltenders because Kakkonen hasn't shown much. Out of those four, we lose tonight by three or four goals.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, when you play all year worrying about your goaltender, worrying about, oh shit, if I make a mistake, it's going to end up in the back of the net because the guy that I have behind me is struggling this year. And the guys I have, there was never somebody to just step in and say enough. It ends here. It ends with me. Yep. I'm going to be the guy. Don't worry about me. You guys play your game and I'll play mine. It feels like Jake Allen is that guy. And the veteran leadership so far, look, it's two starts, but it's two starts that I think today we lost the game, but we could have gotten blown out. And the other game that he played, what was that win against St. Louis? Is that who he played? He had two starts. I don't remember who the
other. I thought he actually
was. Was it Dallas? No. Yeah, it was Dallas. Mm-hmm. He was in Dallas, with Dallas. Yeah. Yeah, duh. Thanks, Tom. Yeah, he was in with Dallas. Played fantastic. Like, this is – and you gave him goal support, and you go – but, you know, there's been – this team just doesn't know how to shut the bad off and worry about just playing their type of game. But, again, we don't know what their game is. Like, I don't know. They have to learn how to do other things better, and I just don't know if they have the players to do those things. You know, if you can't get in off the rush, then you better start forechecking, but we're not big. Yeah, we can get there first, but then we just get bumped off the puck.
It's no surprise. It's something we've been talking about all year. As presently constructed, regardless of the fact that there is a ton of talent on the team is broken. Something is not fitting in. I'm sure we're going to get to that as we talk about some players later. But Tony, let's see what you've been thinking about the last two games.
You know that feeling you get when it's the preseason and you can't wait till it's over with? I feel like this is like this part of the season where I can't wait until it's over with, because I was talking to Chris earlier tonight. I think I said to him, ever since the stadium game, after that loss right after the stadium game, I had just felt like the season, just not much hope this year at the end, you know, this last couple weeks. I mean, coming on here, I've tried to be positive about the whole thing, but really it's just been ever since that, I guess it was the first loss after the stadium game. I felt it before that too, but this team just doesn't have it this year. It sounds crazy and people think I'm nuts, but I almost feel like they did overachieve a little bit last year. It feels like now, because some of these guys that we have, I just feel like a lot of the guys, maybe they had years last year where I thought maybe that this team was built better than it is. And, you know, I don't know, just I'm ready. It doesn't feel like right now, when you watch I was going back and forth tonight and watching the Islanders and Rangers game and stuff like that. And you watch these other teams play like that. I hate to say the Rangers, and we're just not to that caliber this year. I just don't feel like we can hang. And, you know, I mean, like, look at last, like the Phoenix game was really, that was really kicking the balls in a way. But were you guys really surprised? I mean, second period, you've kind of had that feeling that it was just going to be the same thing we've dealt with for the last few weeks.
Yeah, not surprised. And again, if you do what you're supposed to do in that game, and that's come out with a win, so then you beat Dallas, you beat Phoenix, and then you play this game where you were in it with a goaltender keeping you in and you fought hard, this whole perspective looks different today. But we can't keep doing that anymore. Like, I don't see now the jump that they need to make on these teams. No. You're talking,
how many games are left? 15?
14.
Is it 14 or 15?
I thought it was 15.
I think it's 15. I mean, I just wake up. I just remembered that we lost about 10 minutes ago.
They played 68 games.
They played 68?
Yeah.
So 10, 12, 14. Yeah. So out of those 14, like, it's crazy to say, but if you, like, legitimately, you're talking about 12-2 over the
11
next
wins gets you 90 points.
Yeah, 12-2.
So,
like,
12.
Even, like, now, you know, 13 in a row, like, are you going to do that? Like, they're not making the playoffs. That's obvious now.
Yeah.
But yet, the thing that's so frustrating as being a Devil fan is, like, every time you took a step back, everyone else did. Like, the door was wide open all year long, especially post the All-Star game. And the door has been open, and they have not been able to get anything going. There is, you know, Tony, I get what you're saying, and you know, about maybe these guys overachieved. I think there's some of the guys last year that maybe overachieved. I think our goaltending definitely did. But there are certain guys, like you see it in certain sports, when a team is just kind of gives up, or, you know, just kind of isn't, they're not, whatever we're seeing, they're feeling it. And you could just tell sometimes the effort is just not there. So, like, I think that's more damaging to this team than just maybe guys are just having off years. Like, yeah, I think some of the guys are having off years, but I also think some of the guys just don't give a shit. And that's bad. Like, that's really where your problems are. Like, I've said it to you guys. I, you know, wrote the article about it, but I honestly do not want Jesper Bratt on this team next season. I think when you have so many deficiencies, especially in your top six and what you need to do to become a legitimate team and have a really strong top six forward group, Jesper Bratt's a great trade chip. Like, he is such a good bargaining chip. There are teams out there that would want him. I was out on Jesper Bratt after the playoffs last year. I understand what Fitzgerald did, why he signed him, but the $8 million for 8 years. I mean, you're talking, this dude's got a $64 million contract. And if he plays next year, I could be wrong. I don't have the contract in front of me, but I'm like 90% sure that a no trade clause kicks in year. Right.
I believe it's either, I don't know if that's a completion or if we'd have to trade him this summer, but I do know it kicks in
whenever that contract kicks in.
Yeah. Which it might be at the end of the year. I'm not sure if it's this year or next, but yeah,
It would be most likely the start of the league year. Whenever that is for the NHL.
Yeah, because I think I saw some people mentioning that we need to trade him by, you know, in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, let me just check this. When does the NHL, so this year, it's April. Oh, that's when it, no, I want the, oh God, I'm sorry. But anyway, the league year, I don't know when that starts, but that would be when the new contract kicks in. You got to maybe think or at least entertain the idea of getting a really good power forward that can score goals. And, you know, I've said Brady Tkachuk a gazillion times prying him away from Ottawa is going to be tough. Absolutely. But why not offer Jesper Bratt, Alex Holtz, throw a pick in, give them, make it work. Identify this guy, whether it's Brady Kachuk, whether it's whoever else throughout the league. Identify him and then do whatever you have to do to go and get him. Like, we're sitting on assets. We're sitting on guys down in Utica that aren't going to make this team. Like, just go out. Like, I hate the way Tom Fitzgerald general manages. And I don't know about you guys, but in any of my other sports I follow, whatever, or just in general, I don't like a general manager that'll make a move or do a contract or trade, draft, whatever. And then if that's not working out, they basically have the mentality, well, I can't walk away from this because this is my guy or I did this and this is a bad black mark on me.
Yeah.
I like the general managers that say, we tried it, it didn't work, let's move on. I mean, I go to, you know, people talk all the time about like missing on an NFL draft or, you know, missing on a high quarterback or something. And if you're a poorly managed team, it could break you. But I'll go back to San Francisco, the 49ers, right? Tony, you probably remember this a couple years ago, right? They moved up to number 3 in the draft. They gave away 3 first round picks to go get Trey Lance. Trey Lance took like a total of maybe 20 snaps for this team all year. Now he's with Dallas. But the point is, they had the foresight to say, it's not working. Let's move on. And what did they do? They drafted a guy in the 7th round who took them to the Super Bowl last year. It didn't derail their franchise because they were smart enough to just move off of it quickly, to just try and recoup what we can and move off it. I think Jesper Bratt is that mistake. I do. I think him being on this team and just be – and look, Jesper Bratt on another team, I think he could do great. Put Jesper Bratt on the Vegas Golden Knights. I think he's a 40-goal scorer.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, you're right because – as a player, he's still a great player. Now, starting from last year when we got Timo Meier, all through this year, especially this year, I was barking a lot about how Timo's not being used properly. Whatever it was, he's got to be seated on the top two. Whatever it was to make his head straight, this is your $9 million a year player who's got to do it. So it started with Lindy Ruff last year, continued through this year, and then as this year went on, I'd mentioned several times, I don't care about how much talent's on this team. It probably needs to be a blockbuster level trade. Someone has to go in order for this to start to click. And just like we all said last summer, when pressed, given the choice between a Timo Meier type player and a Jesper Bratt, because we assumed we couldn't get both, we wanted the Timo Meier type player. To me, I'm seeing the Timo we were supposed to get the whole time, because whatever it is in Lindy's system never worked for him. It's working now. He's cooking, he's hitting, he's doing everything. I actually still really like Jesper Bratt, but I am tired of not seeing anything happen. It did start with the playoffs last year. I was willing to give him a very big pass on that. It's not going to happen every year. This will get in the playoffs this year. Maybe he destroys a round or two, but he hasn't done anything this year to prove that yet. We need these guys.
2 goals in the last 20 games.
And when you put that in perspective, the last 20 games is when, you know, the Red Wings lost to, you know, 10 of 14 or whatever, and the Flyers lost
20 games.
Yeah.
It's a quarter of your season, guys.
It is. Yeah.
He has scored 2 goals. So on that pace, he's due to score, 8 goals. You know, I know he's blown that out of the water, but I'm just saying, like, you can't have an $8 million a year top 6 guy giving when you're in a playoff chase. Right. Giving you 2 goals in the last 20 games.
Something's just not working. And, you know, I look at, you know, I know Jack Eichel is in a class of his own, or at least an elite class that some people can match up to. But when you look at his go-ahead goal, and I'm not talking about the fake out of Hischier through the zone. I'm talking about that super quick snapshot, caught the goalie off guard. Why can't we do that more? Like, I wrote down here, I'm like, more shots. And again, I'm not being the casual fan just saying because I want to see more shots. Like, literally, there's opportunities for them to shoot and shoot with conviction. And when they do that, you see it go in. I just don't see it in some of these losses.
Way too much getting cute. All the time getting cute. Looking for the extra pass. Looking for the, you know, just trying to make – you know, something pretty happened. Like, we talked about it throughout the year. It's like every rush is got to be a highlight reel. No, just play the game.
Jake Allen had Eichel in his sights directly, straight line, face to face, man to man, and his wrist shot was just that much quicker. Jake couldn't stop it. Just beat him clean.
Yep.
You can do that to most goalies in this league if you shoot with that kind of conviction, with that kind of sneaky quickness.
Tony, Jesper Bratt.
You speak of NFL owners and good choices, so I don't really have this knowledge being a Raiders fan.
I know what you're saying, though. Because, listen, there's too many general managers wouldn't have moved off of Trey Lance. We're going to start him because we gave so much up for him. But sometimes you just make the mistake, right? You see a beautiful girl at the bar. You're like, my God, this girl's gorgeous. You go up, you buy her a drink. Things are working out. You start talking to her and you realize she's a fucking idiot. You walk away. You say, I got to go meet my friend. My car's run. I left the toaster on, and you leave. Whatever you do, right? Like you get away from it quick. Like this is what I feel like Tom Fitzgerald all year has just been like, but they're my team. They'll figure it out. My goalies are look how great they played last year. Like, no, dude, they're out of the play. They haven't been in the playoffs all year. They haven't been in a playoff spot all season. What makes you think that right now they're going to flip a switch? But, Dad, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, like I said last week, I don't think that this whole season, I don't think we have – not once have we been really in a role where I thought that we were actually looked like a playoff team. I can't even think of one time this year. I mean,
we had two or three, I think, three game winning streaks at the most all year.
Yeah. There's just never been no flame on that team, you know? And I mean, the last time I was excited, like I said, was the Stadium Series game because there was a little bit of excitement going on. And I think with Jesper Bratt, I think that he's a guy that, you know, I don't think they'll move on from him. I think he'll be here next year. But I think he's also a guy that he has to be just doing his thing, and there needs to be no pressure on him. Maybe he needs to like just be over there, you know, produce it, because I just feel like once there's any, that's the thing is we're talking about Chris about with Jack, even, you know, like with Hughes, he's been missing lately too. You know, I think right when he gets wild up or gets hit or starts having to be involved, where it becomes not just about his offensiveness, he has to be involved as like fighting on the ice or getting angry. It just throws off the whole team. I think Jesper Bratt's like that too.
I mean, here's the thing though. Like you said, you don't think that they'll move off of him. I honestly think that Tom Fitzgerald has to really do a long, hard look at whether or not he's on this team, because we just said it. That no trade clause kicks in. You're married to the guy. Unless you get him to agree to a trade and all the other bullshit. I hate no trade clauses. I don't think management should ever give a player no trade clause. I'm for players trying to get as much money as possible. And absolutely. But I am not for no trade clauses. If you are in a position to make your club better and you're handcuffed because some asshole Kirk Cousins won't let you trade him. you know what I mean? Then I hate that. So the fact that they even gave him the no trade clause to me is fucked up. But okay,
didn't feel necessary, to be honest, with the contract they gave him. It felt like that was a little over the top.
Right.
And, you know, Tony, I think I mentioned it last show. I agree with everything you said, but, you know, last show I mentioned that the difference with me and Jesper Bratt is he's been put exactly where he needs to be put to excel all year.
He's given every opportunity. You're right.
Listen, you take that contract. I don't want to hear about headspace. I want to see a goal or two.
Yeah.
That's just it. That's the business they're in. So, again, for me personally, it's nothing against the dude. I just think, like Chris said, a lot of other teams would definitely see the value in that. A lot of other teams are just going to look straight up at his points and be like, that could be good enough. Exactly. I think he's got more to give. I think when he learns maybe what to do more, he should, like you said, get 40 goals. But and it just may be that we have to get rid of him to get better. That's all.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, and I know we're getting like, you know, I talked to Chris earlier today. We kind of talked about some of this stuff off the record. And it's like, we're not that, yes, we're young, but the guys are starting to get there. You're starting to get the, you know, 23, 24 year olds going on. But
we're not that young. Yeah, exactly. We're not that young. You can use that as an excuse for a D-core, but you really can't use that as an excuse anymore for a team, especially after what happened last year.
One thing that I get with watching this team is like, you know, I think we need to add like three more pieces that are actually a little bit, and I don't mean older, but there's just certain guys who've taken that. When you watch other teams who have that leadership role or have a bigger part of a leadership role on that team, I feel like we have none of that. We have a bunch of empty spaces in that category. So if you bring in, like, you know, it's time to move on from some of these quote young guys that have never really, where you could package them up. Like you said, you could put a Holtz or you know, I don't want to see Mercer go. I'm just going to mention his name as a guy that people would be interested in during the offseason and maybe bring in some of these guys who are actually a little more proven. I feel like when I look at our roster, you know, we have a lot of hope. We've had a lot of hope for the last few years, but we haven't had a consistent proven. And that's all around.
We have a good core. We have a really good core. I want to play a little game because of what you just said, Tone, about bringing some people in or whoever. And we're not going to go and pop people into this lineup right now. But real quick, we'll do our little shout out here to DraftKings, and then I want to play a little game. But first, Dawson Mercer, you brought him up. I like Dawson Mercer a lot. I like what he brings. I like his style of game. And him, I genuinely believe, is just having an off year.
His swagger is coming back around this year, you could tell, although it's a little too late, of course.
And it looks like Travis Green's giving him some more responsibility, mm-hmm. which he seems to be, excelling in. You know, he's not shrinking with that responsibility. And so maybe you do with him this year like you did with Brat. You give him that bridge earn it year. You know, and say, okay, next year we'll sit down, and especially if you were to trade Brat, and then you can, you know, you kind of say, look, that's what you could get from us, you know, an $8 million a year. He's never going to be worth that, at least not in this next contract, but I'm just saying. And you make him prove it for another year. I don't want to see him locking up anybody for 8 years anymore. Not for a while here. Let's slow the roll on that. But I like Dawson Mercer, but again, if it brought in somebody like we were talking about, I'm fine with moving them. To me, the core of the forward group is Jack Hughes, Nico Hischier, Timo Meier. It ends there with me.
That's my core.
Yeah, that's it.
Like we've mentioned before, I can trade almost anybody else, but I'm not trading multiples of all those people, of course. It wouldn't be Mercer and, you know, Brad or whatever. Have to be as the dominoes fall. But I agree with you there. And then on defense, I think it's, for me, it's our two young guys and Dougie.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know?
And we know that hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. And this week, new customers bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. And if you really want to win some big money, always bet on the Devils to lose. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now with code THPN, and new customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. I lost my train here. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. cdkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. All right. Guys, want to play a little game here? Sure. I'm going to name a devil that is on this team. I'm going to go through the roster, and you're going to say just yes or no. Like, you want him back next year, or you don't care. Okay? So either yes or...
So there's no, it depends on what happens. It's just okay. Just for fun. We do a little more in depth over the summer.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
We're going to fix this team over the summer. No doubt.
Plenty of time during the offseason and the big offseason.
Extra time.
Jake Allen.
Who's go first?
Tony, Bobby, me.
Yes.
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 All right.
As the backup, though.
Yes.
Yes. Kevin Ball.
Tony, right?
Yeah, he's thinking.
Yeah, one more year. I say yeah. Let's see what's up.
Yes.
Yes. Jesper Bratt.
I'm going to say yes, unpopularly around this room right now, but yes.
Okay, again, I know this game we're playing. The game we're playing is making this team better for next year, so I'm going to say no.
Okay, he's got to go. Nico Dawes.
No.
No.
No. Nick DeSimone.
I love the name.
Yeah, he does have a cool name. And he should play in Jersey, right? A guy named Nick DeSimone should be playing in New Jersey.
We can't undecided too. We have to go yes or no.
You know what? For a guy like Nick DeSimone, we've only seen him play three games. We'll go with the undecided because I think that's exactly where I would land too.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would say yes, but I'll take the undecided since it's an option. But right. Otherwise, it's yes.
Nolan Foote. I guess that's probably we can't even. Like, use him, right? Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah, we'll leave him off.
Oh, we can.
Why? What do you want to do? Did you want
him? Oh, definitely a yes. I think he's going to be a pillar on this team for 3 years.
I'm a yes, too, with Nolan Foote. And especially with some of the things that we need in our bottom six. We missed him this year. Yeah.
And I think we were talking last year about him making the team over a Holtz.
Yeah.
Because of what he brings, for sure.
You're right. And he's not in the lineup. He should maybe get a chance here the next couple weeks. Santeri Hataka, Tone.
Another undecided for me. Just because he hasn't played, I haven't seen him play enough. That's why if he's been, more than 2 weeks, I would have a little bit more, but.
Yeah, a couple of these guys we can do undecided because they're kind of fringe. They're not really playing. So, I would do the same, but I don't want to let him go. Put it that way.
No, I like him. I'd be totally fine with him on the team next year. Eric Halla.
I'm going to say no, I guess.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm a no.
Okay.
Why, though, Bob? I'm just curious. What do you like about Eric Howell?
I just still like that element of his game that he can bring. Again, I think it's kind of
what element right is role. That? Like, what has he done? He's not even noticeable.
I think he's still a pretty steady veteran presence. Just put him down on a steady fourth line. Like, I think we need to revamp the whole bottom six. So I think there's a place for him there.
We have him under contract next year, don't we? He signed a two-year deal last summer.
Paula is till 2026,
Till 26. Okay, so we have him for two more seasons.
Yeah.
Whether or not – so he's going to be here. Whether or not
– I think he's a good third, fourth-line guy, preferably fourth.
All right. I think I may be able to be persuaded for Eric
when he's going up to the first-line wing, when Jack's hurt and stuff, that's just stupid.
I don't even want
to – every once in a while he'll catch lightning in a bottle doing something like that, but you can't do it that often.
This guy I know is definitely out. Nobody wants him. Nico Hischier.
Love Nico. Yes. Keep him. Yes.
And clone about six more of him.
That would be nice.
Alex Holtz. Well, just so we can plug him in when the other ones get injured. Mm-hmm. That's all. That's the main reason.
I'm going to say no because I think to improve certain areas where he's going to have to go to be part of a deal. So I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes. I see room on the roster for him with the other moves.
Got to go. Alex Holtz, you are a valuable trade chip. Us no good in the bottom six right now. He's a valuable trade chip. What are we keeping him around for? Jack Hughes. We're going to skip Jack. We'll skip the next two. Jack and Luke are definitely coming back. Kaapo Kähkönen.
No, and I think he's gone anyway after this year.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I did speak on the other shows about how I think, like, pound for pound, he could be just as good or better than Jake Allen. Not the last game, notwithstanding, but
it's not really
given what's
like
happening,
it.
Yeah. Given what's happening, no, he's gone.
Not liking the way the cock's looking.
The cock's got to go. I wanted to know this guy's contract. What kind of term do we have Curtis Lazar under?
Curtis Lazar is UFA in 2025. It's only a $1 million a year hit.
Jesus, so that's a fucking no-brainer.
I'm going to say yes because he's about some of the only balls we got right now.
Absolutely.
Yes, but I also want him centering the fourth line, or at least down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like him, though.
I love the guy.
What's this guy's contract? Curtis McDermott.
He's UFA this year.
One of those guys that, we haven't seen enough, so we can easily throw him in the undecided category, but I'm decided. I think you need to sign him. He needs to be on this roster. He doesn't need to play every night, but he needs to be on the roster.
Yeah. A team that had, if we had a little bit more in those areas, I would have to be a little more thinking about it, but I mean, really, on this team, anything that has to do with sticking up for anybody or having some kind of muscle, I'm taking them right now.
Don't you think, Tony, though, if we had Curtis McDermott from the beginning of this year, that some of those games where we got pushed around and got out of hand, could have gone the other way?
We are I say it all the time. We are the, you see us coming down the alley. We're like, we're like the kid in the hallway at high school that that people could throw against the locker. I hate to, it's rough. I mean, so of course that guy would have. I mean, I felt like every game this year when we faced any team that had a guy, we talked about it even when they played like Florida or Ottawa, like what's going to happen to us tonight? Like who's going to take a shot at us? So I think a guy like McDermott kind of prevents that throughout the whole season.
Bobby, where are you on Curtis McDermott?
I think that we we're getting far away from the game. We're straying from our yes nos, and we're starting to explain every one of them, which wasn't really the nature of this.
That was not the point.
I'm just waking up now. Finally,
I'm just. I'm going to be a big fan of revamping like the entire bottom six. I don't know where exactly. I don't know that we need him. We need a player like him.
What kind of money is he getting?
He's just under $1 million.
All right.
But so for I'll say yes. For now.
Okay. Yes. Now, what's John Marino's term?
Johnny Marino, UFA in 2027.
Okay.
$4.4 million.
Three more years at $4.4 million. He's got a nice contract. He's got a lot of term. Chances are he's not going anywhere, but we're not playing that game. Tony, John Marino.
Yeah. I'll go yes.
I'm going to say yes.
I'd like to think that maybe he's having a down year this year for whatever reason. So for that, I'll say I'd give him another year. Let's see if he can turn it around. But if he has another year like he did next year, like he did this year, then I think possibly you got to think about moving John Marino somewhere.
I can already tell I'm not cutting enough people, which is why we usually do this over a, you know, a full kind of series that makes sense.
Well, you know, that now we're getting to some guys that are going to be tough cuts if you decide to go that way. Timo Meier, of course, we'll skip him. Everybody knows he's not going anywhere. Dawson Mercer.
I'm going to say yes, just because I do like Mercer. Like I said, you know, like as we talked about earlier, it just matters what – if some of these guys don't return, it just matters why they're not returning. If there's some – what's coming back and – all that, all the details is kind of like a big decision with these kind of guys. When you mention someone like Mercer,
I'll just say yes.
All right. Now Mercer's an RFA this year, right?
Yes.
So what does it cost to qualify him?
Well, he's $894,000 now. So I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, it's probably going to be like a little over $1 million to qualify him. I think you qualify him and you get him back here on a cheap 1 year deal and you just, you know, make him earn it next year. But I know we're not supposed to do this, but I will say one more thing. If Tom Fitzgerald didn't have the balls to move on from Jesper Bratt and Dawson Mercer was the chip to get a guy that we need like Brady Tkachuk, then
yeah,
Dawson Mercer would have to go.
Yeah, this is all relative to what the options are, but
I
don't think we're going to be able to finish this game without explaining a little bit because that's what we're doing.
You have to on some of these guys because we don't, you know, some of these guys have such high hopes this year, so it comes down to explanation.
And I know I keep saying a guy like Brady Tkachuk. Let me clarify. I want Brady
Tkachuk. It's very obvious.
I think Tom Fitzgerald, when he uses the term big game hunting to talk about what his summer is going to be like, looking for a goaltender, no, I think big game hunting is. Doesn't matter what you have to do, dude. You got to get Brady Tkachuk on this team. You know, just watching him play, and I just, every time I watch Ottawa and I see this dude play, and he plays with Tim Stützle, and Stützle is like nowhere near where Jack Hughes is. Could you imagine those two playing together? I just see, a line that can be the best line in the NHL. And you say, Tone, Jack Hughes, right, gets pushed around a little bit or the team starts feeling that physicality and he starts falling apart a little bit, right? Yes, that has to do with a lot of his, you know, just being young, but a lot of it is mental makeup. What would he do? How would he respond having a guy like Brady Tkachuk next to him, right? He's not Wayne Gretzky, I get it. But if anybody thinks Wayne Gretzky puts up all the numbers that he did and has the career he did, if he didn't play next to guys like Marty McSorley and Rick Tocchet and these dudes that protected him all those years, it's a big part of it. And it still is. It's still a big part of the game.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Simone Nemich.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The next five are going to be tough. Simone Nemich.
We just did him?
Yes.
Simone,
I'm sorry. I almost did it again.
Yes,
Thomas Nosek. That's where I was like, wait, Simone Nemich isn't hard. What am I talking about? Thomas Nosek.
I say no.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
I like Thomas Nosek. I feel like if he was healthy this year, all year, I think he'd be much more productive. I think he came in at a really bad time. And when you're a struggling team and – you're dealing with a lot of injuries. As soon as that injured player, no matter who they are, even if they're fourth line centers, they feel like they have to get in here and contribute and help the team right away. And we all know that usually never works. I feel like he might be in that category. I think a full year healthy with this team, he can be pretty good on that fourth line. I know you want to see Lazar centering it.
But... Well, yeah, I didn't get to see Nosek enough, but I have already built my fourth line in my mind. So, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Andre Palat.
Yes.
No, I think we can get a similar role for maybe $2 million less. I think he's a good trade chip.
His contract?
No. Well, what's he got left? He's 27, $6 million, 227. No, but that's not the question, right? The question I think I can move him to make the team better, and I do. I think other teams would love to grab him. He's a great player.
I agree with you, Bob. I love Andre Palat, but I just haven't seen it this year or last. You know, in the playoffs, yes, he's great, but if this team, I just feel like where he just hasn't been able to stay healthy all year. He hasn't been able to kind of do the things that he's should be doing. I feel like he's maybe had a handful of games
when he does it, really extremely noticeable.
Yes. But absolutely. Like, it's just not enough. I think he might be cooked as a player. So I would like to maybe move on. Jonas Siegenthaler.
No.
I'm a no.
I'm a no. I'm a hard no. I do not want this dude.
We got enough defense in the wings.
Brady Smith. Brendan
Smith. I don't hate him, but I just feel like we can upgrade.
Yes, we can. Brendan Smith. Tom?
I'm going to say yes. It's a hard decision, though. I'm going to say yes.
I don't find it hard at all. I'm a no.
It is such a hard no.
Straight up no, man.
If he's on this team this year, next year, we're doing something
right. Talked about how in the right context, backwards. Like I liked liking him way more than hating him. And as a forward, I thought what he brought to the team was great. But every time I see him on defense, it's just rough, man. And that's where he belongs. Dude, we can't fit him in the forward. He's got to go for me.
He's not good. He's just not good, man. And I'm not a fan. Again, the things he did, if he did those positive things, like, you know, that was his game all the time, he'd be one of the best players in the league. But he can't put it to, you know, he's just way too inconsistent. I don't like him. He's got to go. Chris Tierney, Tone.
Definitely inconsistent, yeah.
Tone, are you on a delay? I feel like he's not hearing me.
I'm hearing you guys, but for some reason I'm hearing you guys really, it's kind of broken up a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm trying to make sure I hear you guys correctly. But Tierney, I'm going to say, no.
I'm a no because easy to replace.
Fourth line.
I just, you know, $750,000 player hasn't shown me anything in particular. I think that could be filled by a lot of players.
I think he does bring something. Maybe I'm just jaded because he's one of the few players that does not make mistakes. Maybe I'm just see him and I'm just like, he's solid and he's good. Maybe you're right. Maybe these players are a dime a dozen.
That's another great way to look at it though, dude.
But he just doesn't make mistakes and the rest of the team does. So I feel like he's that nice cornerstone. Every time he's out there, every time I see number 11 on the ice, I kind of feel like, all right, this is at least be a positive shift.
Yeah, again, nothing against the player. I'm just trying to figure out how am I quote unquote blowing up half this team if I don't actually make some cuts. So
Max Willman.
Max Willman.
Yeah. Yeah, Tony, he's gotta hop off and hop back on.
Max Willman. I guess not enough sample size for me to be worried if he goes, so I would say no.
Yeah, I'm fine with him being down in Utica. I don't think he needs to be up here.
Sorry, look, Tony's face is frozen. As he's hopping back off, and he just looks like god awful or scared or something. I don't know.
You know, the camera never ever freezes when you don't look like a complete fucking moron.
It makes you wonder if you just look like a complete moron all the time,
all
right?
All the time. Yeah. All the time.
Uh oh, two Andersons.
This guy. Oh boy, I think.
Can you see yourself?
No, oh, I can only see one screen.
Okay, he's gone.
But you guys do sound good now. Sorry about that. For the last 10 minutes, I hear echoes and like...
No, you're good now. You even sound a little bit better.
It's too bad this isn't visual. You should have seen your face. Your frozen face was hysterical. Yeah, there was no cock in it, but it should have been.
Tyler Weatherspoon. I don't even remember this guy exactly.
No, he's a no.
Is this the devil you don't know?
I think that's everybody that is actually still on the team right now. I mean, they have Shane Bowers and Graham Clark and Brian Hollinen, but these guys are all AHL guys. What's the deal with Seamus Casey? Is he like coming into the team next year? What's his story? Anybody know?
I think that's going to depend a lot about the summer.
Well, he's not going. He's done with college, right?
Thought so he was already in. Is he not already in Utica?
Is he in Utica, Tom?
Yeah, he is. I think we'll see. I mean, I think it all is going to matter. I mean, I definitely gonna think we're going to see him up in the
was he
preseason,
even playing? I thought he was playing college this year. Was he not?
I thought he's been in Utica all year.
I might have him mixed up with somebody else.
Tony's our minor league guy.
But Seamus Casey being you
literally.
Know his.
Literally.
In fact, your time's up, Dick.
Can you sign off again?
Exactly.
What the hell were you talking about? Seamus Casey.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he does have a ton of hype around him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's supposed to be, but, like, are we really going to maybe be bringing in another rookie defenseman next year?
Really depends on how, you know, Luke and Nemec progress next year. He certainly isn't going to start with the team. He couldn't. Can you imagine that? That would be insane.
Yeah,
but I could see him getting some time for sure.
What do you know about Seamus Casey, Tony?
University of Michigan. There you go. Let's see here. I'm looking at his stats this year. I'm trying to pull those up. Let's see here.
You hear the office in the background?
Exactly.
No, I hear the music, and you're just like doing that. It's funny. The theme song's on in the other room. So I just heard it. But anyway.
Having some technical difficulties.
All right. We're going to skip that part with James Casey. But yeah,
I know it was Michigan last year, but I don't know. Let's see here.
I just, you know, we have so much talent down there that can be moved, that teams would go for. And I hear so many people like, you can't trade this guy, you can't trade that guy. Like, if you have a plethora where if you feel like the defensive core is pretty much set for the next X amount of years and you want to really attempt to try and go on a Stanley Cup run, sometimes most of the time, you have to like deplete the coffers. You have to go out and, you know, I'm not saying buy a championship, but I'm saying fill the gaps. Stop looking to, you know, well, this guy will be ready in a year or two. This guy will be ready. No, you want to win now. Get rid of him.
Yeah, that's exactly why you stockpile.
Exactly.
And you build, and then you take the cream of the crop, and those are the ones that make your team. And the other ones, they have to be assets for something like that. And then you become a Stanley Cup contender. Once a true Stanley Cup contender, not like a blip, you're usually in the talks for at least, you know, a 3-4 year stretch.
Absolutely.
Right? And it doesn't mean you're going to win them, of course, but you're in the talks, and then that's where you're riding your core, and that's where you're at the end of that. Then you have to start getting creative because guys get their second big contracts. And then ultimately you get to the place where like a Tampa Bay was with such success. All right, we got to let a Palat go because we can't afford him, even though we want him. And then what happens is the next up and coming team overpays for that person. It's their right. That's what they do to get their team started on the championship.
And you start building up again.
And then you do the same thing. And then eventually you're good for too long and you got to reset. Yep. You can't be good for forever. We thought we could. We had a bad decade. Detroit was even better than us with their success. They had a bad decade. It happens. Pittsburgh almost moved. Chicago wasn't on TV. Like, these things happen.
Yeah.
And then you turn it around and they each get 3 Stanley Cups in a period of, you know, 6-7 years. And then they start to fade off again.
There has to be because you do see some owners in some sports that are just fine with being content. I'm talking owners that are just want to be a really good team. You know, championship would be great every once in a while, but we're not going to really invest all in. We're happy being, you know, and those teams will never win Stanley Cups or NFL championships and stuff. But it's the teams that take the risk. And I just feel like Tom Fitzgerald is way too cautious. You know, and I don't think he'll trade Jesper Bratt this summer. I don't think he'll make any huge moves this summer. I honestly think he's stubborn and believes that this team is great. And this team, as constructed, can turn it all around.
Well, let me say something on that. I also don't believe that we have to get rid of Jesper Bratt. Just for me, it's always been that blockbuster theory.
Right.
I also believe, with the right coach, and I do not know who that is, we can get the most out of all these players in their respective roles. We can have
can
have a Meyer and a Bratt and a Hughes and a Heischer all working together. We're still a little bit small in some of those, but I don't know who that is. But I, you know, extra talent shouldn't be a problem.
No, we have these, like Chris mentioned, we have these trade pieces I were talking about. I didn't actually get to find it yet, but, you know, we talk about guys like Casey, you know, and I think that I was, you know, I think with him, I think he was college, Chris, because I think that Chase Stillman is the one. I always get these two mixed up is over in Utica. So I think he was in Michigan, University of Michigan. But, you know, I mean, I just don't we've said this a few times this season. We have guys like the Graham Clarks or these names that we could probably get some guys for. I just don't know why we don't flip some of these because I don't really see a future plan for them with the Devils. I mean, I think if you would have, you know, you would have seen it, you know, already. If there was that much plan for these guys, you might. Why would you not bring a Clark up when we're losing all these games and you're just kind of shitting the bed every night because it's like a why not thing? What are you going to lose almost? And we've hit that territory probably about 2 months ago. Like, what are you going to lose by trying to bring some of these other guys up? We said that about the goaltending a few times. Like, why not bring these kids up sometimes because we're not getting what we needed at the time.
It's going to come down to did Tom Fitzgerald learn from the biggest mistake that he made this year? And I believe the biggest mistake that he made this year is just sitting on his laurels and hoping that things were going to get different by doing the exact same thing. And it didn't work, and it bit him in the ass. And because of that, we're not going to make the playoffs, and we don't have a goalie, and we have to go looking for a head coach this summer, where this summer should have just been about a few things, you know, tweaking here and there after a really strong playoff run. And now this summer is about, like, a whole bunch of really big things.
But I think the whole summary of what needed to be done could have been determined just by our two playoff series.
Yeah.
I think there was enough data right there. You saw how we got by the Rangers. It wasn't easy. And the games we lost horribly. And then that same trend continued to Carolina where we got pushed around, thrown off. Like it was very obvious to me. You build for that situation. The regular season will take care of itself. Yep. Even if it means you're not first in the division. Who cares? And
so what do you want to be? Do you want to be a mediocre team? Because that's how he's, you know, building it. Or you want to go try and win Stanley Cups. If he didn't learn from that big mistake of fixing the problems and making a ballsy big move, you know, then this team's hopeless with him as the general manager.
And the other thing with all our depth in the AHL too and beyond, they don't always have to be the trade chip. They also need to be the depth chart to say, hey, they really want Mercer. Can Graham Clark come in and fill that? How close are they in the way they play? Like, I don't have all that, but I'm telling you that shit's all charted on the wall, ready to slide that peg over when these things happen, because any one of these scenarios can happen. So it's just another way of saying what we've been saying the whole night. Like, all the assets are there. Your core is in place. You have a finite amount of time. Figure out who you want to be. Got to go get the pieces now, because I'd rather have 4 and 5 kicks at the can with the players and the goalie than saying, all right, one more year of this, then we'll get a goalie in 2027. And we'll get the next defensive guy in 2026 or however, you know, just got to get it. Put the pieces together you think can win. Have the balls to say, this is the team that can win a Stanley Cup. Yeah. And then put it on.
And, you know, look, if Fitz doesn't put the right pieces together, it's going to set this team back a long time. And it's going to hurt careers like Nico Hischier's and, you know, guys that have been in the league 7 years and on this team that long. And next thing you know, you know, he fucks up, and in 2 years, we have another season like this, another two seasons like this, Devils are going to trade Nico Hischier. Devils are
going to
do it. Like, this is how bad, like, this is how backwards everything went. Like, it's seriously, like, DEFCON 1, Code Red problems with Devils fucking management right now.
This wasn't a fall off. This was a jump off a cliff. Yeah. And what got me thinking is that when you look at a team like Toronto, who's still widely talented, makes the playoffs every year at least, you know, does well, like, they can wind up getting nothing out of all this and all that talent. And that's my fear.
Yeah.
That we could be that good where we're just kind of killing it in the regular season, this year notwithstanding, of course, and then never get to the I want the prize. I don't care what it takes.
After
that's
this podcast, I'm actually feeling they're actually worse off than I thought they were.
Well, things are we've been very worse. Optimistic for a few weeks.
Well, one of the big decisions that Tom Fitzgerald is going to have to make over the summer is a new head coach, like you just mentioned, Bobby. And Ryan Novosinski wrote an article, everything potential Devils coach candidate Craig Berube said about the New Jersey Devils on the TNT broadcast.
I wanted to listen to him.
Oh, and of course, it's under a fucking paywall. Son of a bitch.
I hate that shit.
Yes. I really this lack hate of
information
that
brought to you by
exactly. I read the article though.
We're just teasing it for next week, guys. Tune in.
Let me just here talk for a second, you guys. I want to check something.
It's always a bummer when you get those paywalls. It happens all the time. Like it's always just trying.
So Tony, what are we supposed to do? Let's tell. Like, how are we supposed to? We got to keep this going. We got to give good, fun information to our listeners. What are we going to do if the Devils are out of it?
All right, I got it.
Oh, don't answer sleep. That. Another cliffhanger. Little, Chris is ready.
Sleep a couple extra hours.
Tony's so, like, yeah, I'll take the summer off, motherfucker.
He posts the question asked to Berube and then Berube's answer. So the first question was, on if the Devils would have been in a playoff spot had they acquired Jake Allen earlier. And Berube said, quote, they might be. I'm not going to play GM here, but he's in a three-man rotation in Montreal. He's not playing a whole lot. So maybe some teams went away from that after not seeing him enough. He's a solid goalie. He's a great teammate, first of all. Whether he's playing or he's not playing, he helps the other goalie out. He's solid. You see here tonight, made a bunch of saves in the first period to keep the Devils in it. Okay, so everybody, including Craig Berube, says, should have gotten at least Allen.
And he cost nothing.
Yes, when everything was falling apart and you knew the Markstrom deal was dead, instead of going out and basically begging Calgary, we'll pay the whole salary, we'll do whatever, you know, and you could have just moved on and gotten a guy like Jake Allen. But no, you fell in love with this little prize and you had to do everything you can to try and get it. And, you know, that was what would have happened last year if he didn't make the Timo Meier deal. We wouldn't have had anybody to take that spot. We wouldn't have had any size on this team because he would have missed out on that. But sometimes you have to have a backup plan. And Jace Gowan seems to be a pretty good backup plan.
So far.
On Allen's veteran leadership, he's a mentor, Craig Berube says, quote, he'll mentor young goalies on the other or the other goalie and help him out, teammates and things like that. He's a smart guy. He's a solid goalie. I don't think he's a number one starter anymore, but he can play a significant amount of games and be a real good backup. So really, what have you got to lose? On what he would have said to Devils during the second intermission, it was 0-0 at the time. He writes, I would be firm. I'm sure Travis will be too. To me, Vegas took the game over that period. They had plenty of offensive zone time. If it wasn't for Jake Allen, they could be down 3 or 4 right now, in my opinion. They need to manage the puck better, break it out better, create some more offensive zone time. They're one and done. They've had some opportunities off the rush, but that's about it. They've got to clean it up a bit and check better, and they are because Vegas is coming. Okay, well, that was pretty obvious. That's just something that probably Craig Berube, who hasn't watched every single Devil game this year like we have, would have noticed that that's all this team does. They are one and done when it comes to the offensive zone, at least after the first 15 games this year. Question was, would he have shortened the bench during the third period? And he writes, oh, for sure, definitely 100%. The guys that are going will play, simple as that, on what the Devils must do to get their offense going. Getting in the offensive zone and using your skill and your speed in there and being patient on your shot selection a little bit and your puck play, not forcing things. Take what they give you, cliche bullshit, and get to the net more. Right now, they're forcing pucks. Look, Vegas is going to clog the middle of the ice up. We know that. So get it to the point, get some shots through, slice some pucks from bad angles and find some rebounds, and hopefully you get a couple. I mean, yeah, that's pretty obvious. We don't do that. On what broke down for the Devils during Jack Eichel's go-ahead goal, Craig Berube says, you've got to have better sticks in the neutral zone. The D has to have better gaps. Jesper Bratt was on Eichel. Just stay on him. Don't let that shot go from the middle of the ice. I didn't even really think about that, right? Did Bratt not try playing defense really on that play?
Yeah, I just saw him skate through Heischer. I didn't even realize that.
And then he writes, it was just too easy for him coming through the neutral zone. The D would way off. You need better gaps there. So he's coaching us already, guys. So I hope they're paying attention. On the Devils' inexperience, he writes, they're a young team. Let's not forget the Hughes brothers. Jack's been there a little longer, but they're young guys and still learning the game. Nemec, he's a young 19-year-old D-man in there. He probably didn't expect to play this year. He was in the minors, but now with injuries, he's up here playing. A little bit of growing pains that have to go along with getting better and getting to that elite level that you need to be so you can be a contender. Well, it does kind of sound, I mean, I know he's on the TNT broadcast, but he's
hired.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, he sounds like he feels like the Devils are that up and coming team. that maybe, you know, they do just need the right guy behind the bench. Maybe Craig Berube. I like him.
I don't think most people, fans or non-fans, wouldn't objectively look at the team and say they're not still an up-and-up team.
Yeah.
This was just one of those years where they fell back a little bit, regressed a little bit. It happens. It happens to some of the best teams, and they come around and win some championships, but they still have a lot of work to do.
I got a lot of question marks too, man. A lot of question marks. I really do. Like, I do agree with you, Bobby. Like, I don't think it's. I don't think the promised land is not going to happen. But I just this whole season is just. I have seen nothing. Like, if I really look at the whole season, if I wasn't doing like, if we were just sitting at a bar right now, all three of us just talking, having a beer, I'd be like, man, this season just sucked. It's kind of like, you know, Bobby, what were we saying the other day? When does baseball season start? Or last year, it was the total opposite. We didn't even care when baseball season started.
You know, that's the thing that's so fucked up about this team is, like, they're not even making it fun. Like, they're not even making – okay, you're out of the playoffs. You know, maybe you play spoiler. Maybe you go on that last-ditch run and miss by a point or two. And holy shit, you know, we can take some good away from this season. Like, they're not even fucking playing for anything right now.
Although I thought today's game, if I had watched just today's game and I knew nothing else about the Devils and their season, I would say that this is two teams that could like meet up in the finals. And again, the Devils were outplayed, but just the way they played and hung with them, like it really felt like a playoff game to me.
I don't know. There was really no part of that game that Devils dominated, and that's the thing, they didn't. You know, but you gotta be able to impose your will. Like, we getting pinned into our zone all the time. We can't ever get the puck out. You know, it's just, there's nothing even fun about their style. Like, even today's game, I thought it was a fun game to watch. Absolutely. But like, they've given us maybe in the last, 50 games, maybe 35 games. They've given that twice, you know, this game and the Carolina game. I know what you're saying. But it's still like, it's just, what's there to be fun about? If they play like that, this, you know, against every team, then, you know, maybe they don't lose all of them, but okay.
And if I remember correctly, the Kings aren't, I mean, not the Kings, I keep on saying the Kings because of those shiny helmets, the Knights, I mean, they're not, what are they? They're a wild card team right now.
They're last.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're not playing the Kings, the Knights from last year. You know, we're kind of playing a team that, you know, that it doesn't, but obviously, our season is much longer than that.
But I will say, before we wrap it up, that other than last season, all right, last season the Knights win the Cup. The year before that, they missed the playoffs. Right. You know, they were a perennial playoff team since their existence. And they had a shitload of injuries. Things just kind of went sideways, you know, 2 years ago. They don't make the playoffs. They come back, few tweaks, and they go on a run and they win the Stanley Cup. So...
You can't say they can't do that again either. That's a weird team over there.
Right, but I'm saying you also can't say if the right pieces – that's why this is so so important this offseason, because if the right pieces are put in place, that could be the Devils next season. Like, it's all there. You know, we know that because we've seen it. The skill level is still there. Just got to get the right pieces in there, and you got to get the right guy to move those pieces around. And that's
how many pieces you think, Chris? Because I think Winter's like three big pieces. I'm not even going to put out what parts they are, but I think there's at least three big moves you make during the offseason.
I
could categorize the three.
And coaching even, I think would be something that.
Oh, you know, I forgot coaching. 19, I have.
I wasn't even counting that. So I would say four. There's four big changes I feel like that you have to make on this team to really like be confident going into next season.
All right. The last thing we're going to do in the show is give your three things that you think. What do we need?
Go ahead, Bobby.
Is it three or four? Which one are we going to do? Because I could do four too.
Don't count coaching. So that would be four coaching. So go three.
So yeah, I need a stud veteran gamer as a forward. I need a true stay at home D man and the lights out goalie.
Yeah, I mean,
that's it. What have we been saying? What have we been saying since November, December, that this team's needed? All three of those things. We've been saying it. Everybody's been saying it. And, like, you didn't go out and do anything to help those pieces when you could have. I really hope that he knows that they need to be fixed and fixes them this summer. Because and he's got to fix them with the right pieces, especially coaching. You can't get the next coach wrong.
We need a bigger personality than we have on the team right now. We need that. What we talk about, the Brady Tkachuks or your Matthew Tkachuk. We need that one guy. We don't have it. I mean, and we shouldn't rely on Jack for it because I think he needs to concentrate on his game. I think we need that one guy that personality just overrides everything else, you know. I mean,
yeah, we need to get some character on this team.
Yep.
You know, that's huge. But all right, I think we're going to wrap it up tonight. So wherever you guys are listening to us, we really appreciate it. Thanks so much, and drop us a line, theunclepuckers.com. You can reach us there and give us a comment, 5-star review, positive review, whatever, download, subscription goes a long way to help us promote the show. Thank you guys so much for listening. For Tony and Bobby, I'm Chris, and we are the Uncle Puckers. See you when we see you.
Peace.
Bye-byes.
Let's go Devils.